我们能够跟上帝来理论吗？
I shall answer this question first. Can we argue with God?
我们先回答第一个问题，就是我们能跟上帝理论吗？
We argue with people we know and we argue with people we don't know.
那我们跟那些认识跟不认识的人，我们都会跟他们有理论或者争吵。
So whether we know God well or not, we also want to argue with God.
所以不管我们认识上帝到什么地步，我们都会想要跟他来一个理论或者争吵。
不打不相识。
Oh, okay. Don't fight, don't know each other.
Now there is a difference between arguing and quarreling.
那理论和争吵是有别的。
I like to argue, but I don't like to quarrel.
那我喜欢跟人家理论，我不喜欢跟人家争吵。
When I quarrel, I say things that are not true or exaggerated.
争吵的时候，我可能会夸大，我会说那些不应该说的话或者不正确的话。
When I argue, I reason. I try to be objective, and I can remain calm.
可是理论的时候呢，我确实会以理性沉着的去跟人家应对。
And when I quarrel, I just speak what's on my mind. I raise my voice. I get angry.
争吵的时候，我就有怒气，想到什么就说什么。
In the Old Testament, there were men who argue with God, and there are those who quarrel with God.
旧约有人呢是跟上帝去理论，有人去跟上帝去争吵的。
For example, Abraham reasoned with God. Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked?
比方说亚伯拉罕他跟上帝理论说，你会把那些正直不正直的一股就一网打尽吗？
Moses warned God, if you put these people to death, nation will say Yahweh was not able to bring these people to the promised land, so he killed them all in the desert.
摩西警告上帝说，如果你这灭绝了我们这以色列人的话，人家就会说你没有能力把他们带出这整个旷野。
Habakkuk questioned God, why tell me why make me look at evil?
哈巴谷呢就教了巴士豪星唱歌。
Jeremiah accused God, you deceive me, I won't preach your word anymore.
那耶利米呢先知就指控上帝说，你骗我啊，我不要再讲你的道了。
Jonah blasted God, I want to die.
那约拿先知就说，我死了算了吧。
So we have been talking about men, however, there is a woman in the Old Testament who suffered a lot.
那我们一直在讲的是关于男士，可是又旧约有提及女士是受了很多苦的。
In a foreign country, this woman within 10 years she lost her husband, her two sons died.
这位异乡呢？这位女子她在异乡十年之内呢，她丧失了她的丈夫，还有她两个儿子。
She returned to Bethlehem as a poor, childless widow.
回到伯利恒的时候，她已经是一个 无后的寡妇。
And she changed her name to Mara, meaning bitter.
她也把自己的名字改成马拉，就是苦的意思。
Now, calling herself Mara is a form of passive aggression.
那根据我们所知道的，马拉其实是她里面的内心一种愤怒的表达。
When a friend asks, "Why change your name?"
当有人问她说，你为什么改名呢？
And she says, "God made my life miserable."
她说是上帝使我的整个人生很愁苦。
In the Psalms, we read of many expressions of hers.
No, 对不起。
Many expressions of hers.
哦，在诗篇我们也看到很多诗人他们在表达自己的那个苦痛。
One psalmist asked God, "Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?"
其中一位问上帝说，在患难的时候你为什么隐藏
？The sons of Korah in the Psalms asked, "Why, O Lord, do you reject me?"
可拉的后裔就问说，上帝，你为何丢弃我？
Asaph expressed, "Surely in vain have I kept my heart pure. In vain I tried to be good."
然后另外诗人就说，我实在突然洁净了我的心，突然洗手表明无辜。
So you see, the psalmist just spill whatever's on their heart, what they feel before God, without pretense.
所以我们看到诗人他们就是自己感受到什么，他们就完全没有遮掩的在上帝面前表露出来。
Sometimes God was treated like a punching bag.
有时呢，他们甚至把上帝当成是沙包。
In the book of Job, we read that after Job's children have had their party, Job would get up in the morning and offer burnt offering for each of them.
在约伯记呢，我们读到说，在孩子们他们有了宴会之后，早晨约伯他就起身，然后献祭给上帝，为了他们献祭。
And Job thought, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.
那约伯说，恐怕我的儿子犯了罪，心中
又起身。 Now one day a messenger came and said, "Your sons and daughter were having party. Mighty wind swept in, the house collapsed, and they're all dead."
然后突然间有使者就在就来说，突然间从旷野呢就有风刮了起来，然后击打了整个房屋的四角，房屋跌倒下在他们身上，他们都死了。
We did not hear Job say, "I interceded for them, and yet they still die."
我们没有
I pray in vain.
我们没有听到约伯说我为他们代祷，为什么他们还是死呢？我就白白祷告，他没说。
In Job's suffering, his three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, insisted that God had sinned against God.
那在他的受苦的当儿，他的三个朋友以利法、比勒达和顺法都认为说是约伯犯了罪。
But Job maintained his innocence. He said, "I desire to speak to the Almighty. I want to argue my case with God."
那这个约伯却是说我是无辜的，我要跟上帝来理论。
God was silent.
可是上帝默言。
In sufferings, people often ask God, "Why didn't you prevent this?"
在受苦的时候，很多人会问上帝说：“你为什么不阻止这一切
？”Why didn't you stop it from happening?
为什么你不阻止事情的发生
？And almost all the time, God remains silent.
那很多时候我们发现，上帝都是不出声。
Job's fourth friend Elihu told him, "Why do you complain? God does not answer this type of question."
那以利户就来问约伯说：“你为什么要抱怨？上帝是不回答这类的问题的。
”So Job said, "I'm innocent, but God denies me justice."
那约伯却是说：“我是公义，神夺去我的理。
”In our crisis, we may question God.
在我们经历一些苦难或者是一些困难的时候，我们会质问上帝。
We may yell at God, express our doubts.
我们会对着上帝，然后就发表我们的不信，我们的疑虑。
God allow us to yell and pour our hearts to Him.
上帝容许我们向他来呐喊，来向他来表达我们的心情。
We can be honest with God.
我们可以跟上帝坦诚。
He listens and He cares.
他聆听，他也关怀关心。
Now in the story of Job.The story was set in the land of Uz.
那至于约伯呢？他的故事的这个的这个地方是叫做乌斯，就是约伯是乌斯人。
Was set in the time before the Torah was given.
那这个故事呢，是发生在妥拉被交给以色列之前。
Torah referred to the five books of Moses.
妥拉指的是摩西五经。
So Job did not have Genesis, Leviticus, or Deuteronomy to read.
等于说。约伯没有读过《创世纪》到这个《生命记》这五本书。
Job was not a Levitical priest.
约伯也不是一位利未派的祭司。
The sacrifice he made was not the Levitical burnt offering type.
他所做的献祭也不是按照利未的那个规矩。
Job's knowledge of God seems relatively less compared to Moses or David.
比起摩西，比起大卫，约伯对上帝的认识是来的较逊一些。
Although they did not have the Torah, Job and his friend had knowledge of God.
那即便他们手上没有妥拉，可是呢，约伯他的朋友，他们却是认识上帝，惧怕上帝。
Job himself knew that God is righteous, not evil, so he feared God and he shunned evil.
约伯知道上帝是公义的，那是无他家里头是没有邪恶的，所以他也照着这样的方式去活。
Job knew how to worship God by offering sacrifices.
约伯是靠着献祭去敬拜上帝。
And he knew that God is the giver of all good things. So his attitude was, "The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away."
那他知道上帝是给予一切的，那所以他就承认说，上帝给予一切，上帝也能够拿走一切。
While the ancient Near Eastern people were worshiping the sun, moon, and stars.Job worshipped the Creator.
那虽然古近东的人他们所敬拜的都是天上的那些星星、太阳等等，可是约伯所敬拜的却是那个创造世界的真神。
He knew that God is the maker of the sun, moon, stars.
他知道上帝是那个天上星宿的创造者。
Now Job himself did not subscribe to the law of retribution.
那约伯他也本身也没去想到这种报应的这样的一种思维。他不认为东西是就是有一个因果，有一个报应。
Yes, the people believe that if you are suffering, it is because you have offended God, you have sinned against God.
可人家都认为说，如果你现在受苦的话，是因为你得罪了上帝。
So, and Job himself argued against the law of retribution.
那可是约伯呢，却是去反对这样的一个学说。
When his friend Eliphaz says, "Who being innocent has ever perished? As it observed, those who plow evil, those who sow trouble, they reap the consequences."
那当他的朋友以利法说，无辜的人有谁灭亡？正直的人在何处剪除？
Then Job retorted, "If that is true, then why do the wicked live on? They grow old and they increase in power."
那么约伯就回答说，如果真的是这样的话，那恶人为何存活享大受束呢？
And Eliphaz believed staunchly that no one is righteous before God.
那以利法他也深信说，没有人在上帝的面前真是真正公义的。
And that implies that Job is not as innocent as he thinks.
换句话说，约伯把自己看得太清高了，他其实不是在上帝面前他不算的公义。
The young friend Elihu believed that self-righteousness can result in suffering.
那以利户就想说是自以为意，到头来会带来的就是受苦。
Perhaps Job was suffering because he was self-righteous.
那可能约伯他受苦，其实因为就是他自以为意咯。
Now, Job's way of life reflected God's moral and ethical character.
那这个约伯的生命就表达了上帝的那种正直，他的那种道德的那种的一个上帝，对不起。
His upright and blameless life reflects God's righteousness, God's justice, and God's mercy.
他的这个生，他的这种很正直的一个生命，就反映出上帝也是正直的，是公义的，是充满慈爱的。
So we see Job's life was consistent with the teaching of Deuteronomy, even before the Torah existed.
这么一来，我们就看到说，约伯的生命和《生命记》是吻合的，即便他没有读过《生命记》，也《生命记》甚至还没有写出来。
Job 31, chapter 31, tell us specifically.The ways Job was upright and blameless.
那这个约伯记三十一章就告诉我们说，这个约伯他是正直的，而且甚至是无可指摘的。
Slide 25. Okay, Job did not lust. He did not lie. He did not commit adultery. He did not fail to help his slaves.
那约伯他也没有撒谎，他也没有去行奸淫，他也没有说不去帮忙他的这些仆人。
He helped the poor and the needy. He did not trust in his wealth, and he did not worship idols.
他去帮忙那些有需要的人，他没有依靠他自己的财富，他也没有去拜偶像。
He treated his enemy fairly. He was not stingy. He did not hide his sin.And he was not being unfair to his farm worker.
他很公平地去对待他的所谓的敌人，他也不吝啬，他也没有不向上帝来忏悔的罪，他也是很公平地去对待那所有在田野工作的人。
So imagine how Job felt when his friend insisted that he had sinned against God.
所以试想想，当他的朋友说。约伯你得罪了上帝，他心里面会有什么感受？
So in summary, so far we have seen Job and his friend knew about God, that God is righteous, he hates evil.
所以在这里我们做一个小结，就是约伯他的朋友们，他们认识上帝，而且知道上帝他憎恨罪恶。
They knew about God's work and God's power in the cosmos.
他们认识上帝在宇宙间的那个工作和上帝的大能。
Now you may wonder, where did Job and friends get their knowledge of God from?
或许我们应该问，就是约伯他的朋友们从哪里来的这些知识呢？
We read that the Lord spoke to Job out of a storm.
那我们在约伯记里面读到说，上帝在旋风中来跟约伯说话。
And in Job 42, we read that Job had heard about God.
然后在42章我们听到说这个约伯呢，他是有听过、知道上帝的。
Other than these two texts, we don't know.
除了这两处经文之外，我们不知道他们是怎么知道有上帝这一回事。
Generally, there are two ways people may know God.
基本上有两个途径是人可以去知道有上帝的。
People can know God through natural revelation.
其一就是所谓的自然启示。
They can know God through special revelation.
或者他们有一个特殊或者特别的启示。
Natural revelation is knowing about God through natural means.
那自然启示就是通过自然界、自然现象去认识有上，去就是意识到有上帝。
Some people observe nature and they see designs and beauty in nature.
有些人通过观察自然，然后就从那边看到有一些设计，然后他们就推论到有一位设计师。
So they conclude that there is a designer. The designer has a great sense of beauty.
这样跟着这样的一个逻辑去推的话，这位设计师他其实很有一种美感的。
Some people reason.
有些人通过理性思考。
Aristotle reasoned that everything has a cause.
亚里士多图就说所有的事情都有一个因，也有个根。
All the causes came from the first cause.
那所有的事情的发生都是因为一个起因，然后他都推到有个第一的这个起因。
The first cause itself is not caused.
那他就讲说这个第一个的起因本身不是一个导致事情发生的一个起因。
So he called the first cause the unmoved mover.
然后他就把这一个第一个原点叫做一个不动 的推动者。
Other than that, Aristotle did not know who is this unmoved mover.
可是亚里士多图却不知道他这位所谓的没有动的对推动者 是谁。
Now in Romans 1:20 we read, For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, that is, his eternal power, divine nature,have been clearly seen, been understood from what has been made.
那罗马书一章二十节就说，自从造天地以来，神的永能和神性是明明可知的，虽是眼不能见，但借着所造之物就可以晓得。
Towards natural revelation, there are two possible responses.
那对于针对这个自然启示，我们可以有两种的反应。
People can either suppress it or they can accept it.
我们可以接受它，或者是把它压抑着，当着没有这一回事。
Those who reject the strong evidence of God's existence in nature will say there is no God.
那一些他们就说他们不去看上帝在整个自然界里头，不把这些都当证据的，他们就会说没有上帝。
However, natural revelation cannot tell us whether.Is the creator personal or the creator is impersonal?
不过说到来呢，自然启示不能够告诉我们说这个自然界所认识的这位所谓上帝，他到底是一个可以有个人关系的，或者是不，或者不是，他有位格或者没有。
Natural revelation cannot tell us whether the creator knows about me, whether he cares about me.
自然启示不能够跟我们说这位创造者到底。认识我吗？到底他关心我吗？
So we need special revelation.
所以我们需要的是另外一个叫做特别或者特殊的启示。
Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 said, In the past God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways.
那希伯来书一章一节就说，神既在古时借着众先知多次多方向晓谕列祖。
Special revelation is learning about God.Through God provided means or through God's agent.
特别启示就讲到说，上帝通过他所差派的那些使者，然后来透露他的想法做法。
The Torah and the Bible are example of God's provided means to know Him.
那妥拉甚至圣经，也就是上帝所使用来告知我们事情的那个管道。
In the Old Testament, the prophets.Were God's agents.
那在旧约呢？上帝的这些先知，也就是他所差派的使者。
In the Old Testament, there were non-Hebrew people who also knew the Creator God.
那在旧约呢？非以色列人，他们也晓得有这一位上帝。
Some of them like Melchizedek, Balaam, the Ammonites.And the Edomites.
这些人就包括了麦基洗德、巴兰、亚摩利人和以东人。
Melchizedek was a priest in Salem.
那麦基洗德呢，他是撒冷的祭司。
Melchizedek worshipped the El Elyon, translation given the God Most High.
他所敬拜的是那位至高的上帝。
In other words, the God whom Melchizedek worshipped is the same creator God that Abraham worshipped.
换句话说，麦基洗德和亚伯拉罕所敬拜的是同一位上帝。
You may read about that in Genesis 14.
我们可以到创世纪十四章那边去看这则经文。
Towards special revelation, people can also reject it, distort it, or accept it.
那讲的是特别启示，人家是可以就是拒绝，或者是扭曲它，或者接受这样的一个启示。
Now the non-Hebrew people could have learned about God through oral traditions.
那这些非犹太人，他们是能够通过人家所说的、传达的故事去认识这样的一位上帝。
They could have known about the creation story that was passed on from generation to generation.
他们可能从那些一代一代传下来的关于创造的故事里面去认识有这样的一位上帝。
They probably have a unrecorded revelation.
这些可能就是没有被记载下来的启示。
You see, in Noah's time, Noah knew about what animals are clean and what animals are unclean before Leviticus was given.
比方说挪亚，对吗？在那个摩西五经都还没有写，他就晓得什么动物是洁净，什么是不洁净。
Now, distortion is the worst response to God's revelation.
那去扭曲上帝的这个启示是最不好的一个回应。
People can add to the story or they can change the details in the story.
当去扭曲的时候，他们可能就去改它里面讲的那个细节，或者去改里面的那故事的内容。
For example, there's a Jewish myth called Lilith about Lilith.
Sorry,
Lilith, Lilith, Lily, Lilith.
荷花。
Lilith, T H, L I L I T H,
L I L I T H,
Lilith.
对不起，真的是听不懂的。
Lilith, okay. All right, it's a name. It's a name. So in that myth, God created the woman first.
所以这边讲的是一个传言，然后在这个传言里头呢，上帝先创造了一个女人。
The woman was called Lilith, and Lilith sinned and became evil.
So 上帝先创造这位叫做 Lily, 然后 Lily 她后来就变成是恶者。
So a woman was created first, and then Adam.
所以这样的一个扭曲的故事说是女人先被创造。
In the Babylonian account of the flood,
然后在这个巴比伦讲到整个洪水的这个事件。
The ark was in the shape of a cube, not a boat.
然后他就讲说，那个方舟呢，其实真的是一个四四方方的一个箱子，而不是一艘船。
And the descendants of Ishmael would say that Abraham actually sacrificed Ishmael on the altar, not Isaac.
然后以实玛利的后代就会说，那个在祭坛上被献的不是以撒，而是以实玛利。
Those are some examples of distorting God's revelation.
这些就是一些被扭曲的故事的一些例子。
And it is dangerous.
那这些故事都带出一点的危险性的。
Now Hebrew chapter 1 verse 1 says, God spoke in the past at many times.
那这个希伯来书在一章一节，他就说上帝在古时已经多次的晓谕。
Before the flood, God spoke to Noah.
在洪水之前，上帝已经跟挪亚来说话。
Hundreds of years after the flood, God spoke to Abraham.
然后在洪水过后，几百年后，上帝向亚伯拉罕说话。
Generations later, he spoke to Jacob.
很多代之后，他向雅各说话。
And then God spoke in various ways.
那上帝用不同的方式来跟别人说话。
God spoke through dreams as Joseph and Daniel had dreams.
比方说他通过梦向约瑟来传达他的意思。
God spoke through visions, like the visions of Abraham, Amos, Ezekiel, they had vision.
或者他让亚伯拉罕看到异象。
Job spoke through theophany, that means a supernatural manifestation.
那上帝也通过一种特别的显现来让人家、认识他。
Moses had encountered with the burning bush.
比方说摩西就看到了焚烧的荆棘。
The Israelite felt experienced earthquake at Mount Sinai when God spoke.
以色列人就在西乃山那边经历了这个雷和地震。
Jacob encountered the angel of the Lord.
雅各他就跟先知摔跤。
Elijah heard the still small voice.
而以利亚听到了一个微小的声音。
Now in Job we learn that the Lord spoke to Job out of a storm.
然后在约伯记我们看到说上帝他透过那个旋风来跟约伯说话。
That is an example of theophany.
那这也是上帝的特别显现的其中一个例子。
God reveal about himself in Job.
那上帝他在这个约伯记里面 他启示关于自己些什么？
God revealed that he created the earth, he stilled the sea.
他启示说他创造了世界，他也让整个海给平服了。
And in that revelation, Job learned that Yahweh spoke, he gave orders to the morning, Yahweh said, let there be light, and there was light.
然后在那个启示之后当中呢，上帝告诉约伯说要有光就有光。
And Yahweh control all form of precipitation like the rain, the dew, the ice and hailstones.
那所有跟这些露水啊冰水全部的水凝结成硬比较硬体的都是上帝在背后在控制的。
And God reveals that he directs the movement of the stars and he provides food for the predators.
上帝也让约伯知道说他控制所有的星宿的那个动向，他也给所有的猎食者他们需要的事物。
And God reveals that he knows his creatures well, like the ibex, the wild donkey, ostriches, and the war horse.
上帝他了解，他认识他所创造的那些创造物，不管是那些怪兽，或者是河马，或者是战马。
And Yahweh can even overpower the monstrous creature like the behemoth and the leviathan.
那怪兽甚至也屈服在上帝的能力之下。
So, in Job, we learn that Yahweh created the earth, Yahweh directs the movement of the star, and God knows his creature well.
所以在约伯记我们就知道说上帝他创造了世界，他控制所有的自然界，包括是水应该怎么样的、一个体制。那他也、在那里他也、在主宰着所有的星宿的动向。
Can we know all this about God if he had not revealed to us?
那上帝如果没有向我们显示这一切的话，我们会知道吗？
We may know some of it.
我们可能多少会知道一些。
Most of it, we are unaware or ignorant until God reveals.
可是更多的，除非是上帝向我们启示，不然我们大概不会懂。
And Job humbly acknowledged his little knowledge.
而这个约伯他就很、真的是谦卑的来到头来承认说他所知道的太少了。
He said, I know you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwart.
他说我知道你万事都能做，你的旨意 不被阻拦。
And God's revelation caused Job to realize that there are many things about God he did not know. Surely I spoke of thingsI did not understand things too wonderful for me to know.
那上帝的这个显现就让、这个约伯知道他自己知道真的实在太少。他说、我所说的我不明白的这些事太奇妙是我不知道的。
And in Job 42 verse 5 we read that Job stood in awe and he sang how great thou art.
然后、42章5节就让我们看到说约伯在上帝面前是真是惊叹。
SoJob and his friend knew something about God's moral character.
所以约伯的朋友对上帝多少、对上帝的这个属性多少有一些认识。
But reader seems to get the impression that God seems to be distant, way up high, and personal and close.
可是呢，上帝却似乎是高高在上，远远的。
To David, God was like a shepherd.
对大卫来说上帝就好像他的牧人。
David said, he leads me, he comforts me, he is always with me.
大卫说他带领我，他安慰我，他时时与我同在。
So Job chapter 38 through 41 reveals more about God's transcendence than God's immanence.
所以这38到41章他让我们看到上帝的这个超越性多过他的同在或者内在性。
But there's still so much about God that remain as mystery to us.
可是对我们来说，甚至对我们来说，有太多关于上帝的事情，始终还是个谜。
God desires us to know Him in a personal way.
上帝要我们真的是一种个人的方式去认识他。
The second part of Hebrew 1 verse 1 said, Then God spoke through the prophets, now He has spoken to us by His Son, Jesus the Messiah.
那这个希伯来书的一章一节的后半节，他是说之前嘛，前半节说之前上帝他是通过了这个多次的多方的晓谕，可是就在这末世借着他的儿子晓谕我们。
John 1:14 tells us, We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only from the Father, full of grace and truth.
约翰一章十四节就说我们也见他的荣光，正是父独生子的荣光。
That means Jesus reveals the fullness of God's grace and truth to us.
换句话说，上帝耶稣他启示，他让我们看到那上帝他的那个恩典和他的真理。
Now in John 1:17 we read, For the Torah was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ.
约翰一章十七节更加说，律法本是借着摩西传的，恩典和真理都是由耶稣基督来的。
In the English and as well as the Chinese Bible, the Torah is translated as law. Law came from Moses.
那在华语、华文、英文圣经呢，我们听到妥拉，我们就把它当成是一个法律书，应该说律法书了哈。
This gives us the impression that the Torah is all about laws.
这给我们一种印象，就是说律法书都是在讲法律。
But when we read Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, most of the stories in the Torah are stories, not law. There are more stories than law.
可是当我们去看这个创世纪、出埃及记、民数记，我们读到很多的故事都不是在讲法律或者法规。
And those stories teach us about God.
很多的这些故事都在跟我们讲解上帝是怎么样的一个上帝。
Those stories teach us God's truth.
这些故事给我们传达上帝的真理。
So to the Jews, Torah actually means instruction, not law.Instruction.
所以呢，对以色列人来说，妥拉其实是一些指示，而不是法律书或者律法书。
So it's not true that here the Torah, the law, is set against grace.
所以这里我们不能说这个妥拉和恩典是相对立的。
The Torah itself is God's grace to us. It is God's grace and truth.
妥拉里面蕴藏的是上帝的恩典和真理。
But Jesus Christ revealed to us God's grace and truth. He was God's grace and truth in person, full of grace and truth.
可是耶稣基督所显现的、所呈现的，却是以一个个人，是他个人来呈现上帝这个恩典和他的真理。
That's why John 1:16 says, "From His fullness we all receive grace upon grace."
所以约翰一章十六节这里就是说，从他的丰富的恩典里，我们都领受了，而且是恩上加恩。
Now, the third question: Can we relate to God?
来到第三题，就是我们跟上帝可以有一个关系吗
？Now we need to ask ourselves: Do we worship a God who hides Himself, a God who is way beyond our reach?
那我们首先要问一个问题，就是我们所敬拜的上帝是一个自己躲起来，然后是一个我们真的没有办法触及的吗
？Or do we worship a God who reveals Himself, a God who reaches out to us?
或者他是会显现自己，甚至会来到我们当中的，来伸手，来到靠近我们的
？The Bible teaches us that we worship a God who wants to live with us, walk with us, and make us like Him.
圣经透露说，我们所敬拜的是一个想要与我们同生活、与我们同行，要让我们能够变得像他的一位上帝。
So God created men and women in His image.
所以上帝他按照自己的形象造男造女。
And why did God create the humankind in His image?
Sorry,
slide 63. Why did God create the humankind?
而上帝为什么按照他自己的形象造男造女呢？
He did so to enable us to relate to Him, to commune with Him, to worship Him.
就是因为我们是按照他的形象造的，跟他修想修想。 所以我们可以跟他有一个关系。
Genesis 1 chapter 1 show us that in his image we can co-rule the creation with him.
那约这创世纪一章甚至说我们可以跟他一起来统领这个创造界。
And in Genesis 2 we read that in his image we can experience interpersonal relationships.
创世纪二章就说因在他的按他的形象所造我们就能够跟他有一个直接个人的关系。
In his image we can relate to God, we can relate to one another, and we can relate to God's creature.
在这个形象里，在神造的形象里，我们可以跟上帝有关系，跟人与人之间有关系，跟其他的受造物有关系。
So in Genesis 2 we read Adam gave names to the animal.
所以在创世纪二章我们听到说看到说亚当他为动物取名。
Then in Genesis 3 we read that God will walk in the Garden of Eden, and there the man and the woman experience communion with God.
那创世纪三章就说到上帝在园子里与人一起同行。
And Genesis 5 tells us Enoch walked with God.
那五章呢就说这个以诺与神同行。
And Genesis 6 says Noah walked with God.
六章挪亚也与神同行。
Other than that, we do not know how Enoch or Noah walked with God.
但我们不知道他们如何与神同行。
What does it mean to walk with God?
与神同行什么意思？
Now, when we read the Abraham story, we can learn about the concept of walking with God.
我们能够从亚伯拉罕的这个人生他的故事来明白什么叫做与神同行。
The phrase walk with God is not found in the Abraham stories.
与神同行这个句子你在亚伯拉罕的故事中找不到。
But the concept of walking with God fills the story.
可是这个与神同行的概念却是充充满就是通通透透的就在他的故事里头。
And there were others who walked with God such as Jacob, Joseph, Moses walked with God.
其他与神同行人就包括了雅各、摩西等等。
And David,Especially, David walked with God.
那大卫尤其是一个与神同行的人。
So if we want to learn what it means to walk with God, we may study the characters, these characters.
我们去看这一些角色们的故事，我们就能够懂得什么叫做与神同行。
And bear in mind that those people who walked with God, their lives had ups and downs also.
也请大家谨记，与神同行的人，他们的人生还是包括了所有的起起落落的。
Some committed serious mistakes.
有些也犯了很大的错误。
Their relationship with God is far from perfection.
他们和上帝之间的关系不是完美的那一种。
And we must not have an idealistic picture of life of a person who walked with God.
所以我们当我们看这些角色的这些旧约的这些角色，我们不要把东西给去想理想化了。
Now in the new covenant, God wants us to be His friend.
然后在这个新约里头，上帝要我们做他的朋友。
Jesus says, He told His disciples, "I no longer call you servants, but a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends."
耶稣在新约约翰福音十五章就说以后我不再称你们为仆人了因为仆人不知道主人所做的事我乃称你们朋友
The relationship between Israel and God is more like a king and servants
那这个上帝和以色列关系就好像是君王和他的臣仆
Now in the new covenant Jesus wants to be our friends
在新约呢耶稣要来做我们的朋友
AndWe can experience close communion with God through our union with Christ.
我们通过与耶稣的合一，我们能够跟上帝有一个很深的一种密契。
The Gospel of John does not use the term united with Christ as Paul used in his letter.
只有保罗用与神合一，这个约翰福音没有用这样的一个表达方式。
Instead, John employed the imagery of the vine and the branches that Jesus taught.
约翰却是用葡萄树和枝子这样的一个图像来让我们看到这种与神合一。
The vine and the branches imagery depicts our union with Christ.
他用这样的一个图像让我们看到 与神合一是怎么一回事。
And Jesus says, on that day you will realize that I'm in my Father, you are in me, and I'm in you.
耶稣就说到那日你们将知道我在父里面你们在我里面我也在你们里面。
And that is a picturesque way of describing union with Christ.
它就是一种比较图像 的方式通过图像方式让我们看到与神合一。
In our union with Christ, we experience a dependence on Jesus for sustenance, for growth, and for fruit bearing.
这个葡萄树和枝子这个图像就让我们看到我们是倚靠着上帝它也让我们结果等等的这些。
Okay, now we've come to the fourth question. Can we understand God?
我们来到第四个问题就是我们可以理解上帝吗？
There are mysteries that we cannot understand or mysteries that we will not fully understand.
有一些属于谜的东西哦，谜我们没有办法知道或者完全的
For example,
去解释。
Trinity, we cannot understand why God is three persons but yet one.
比方说我们没有办法完全解释开来何为三一神。
And we cannot fully understand why bad things happen to good people.
好人经历到不好的事情我们也没有办法把完全给解释清楚。
Now, God may reveal, but people still may not understand what he revealed.
上帝可能是有启示，是有给答案的，可是我们未必听得懂。
For example, the God who is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, forgiving, can be difficult to understand.
那比方说上帝他启示他自己是充满怜悯，充满恩典，他不轻易发怒，而且很愿意去原谅。可 这些听起来很多时候 就是听不懂。
In Exodus 33, verse 6 to 8, God revealed his glory to Moses.
然后在这个出埃及记34章
OK, thank you.
其实在34章这6到7节上帝就向摩西 来启示他自己的那个荣美或者光荣。
In 34 verse 6, we read, God passed in front of Moses proclaiming Yahweh, the Lord is God, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished.
34章的这个六节里，耶和华他就在经过摩西的面前的时候，就说，他是一位有怜悯、有恩典的神，他不轻易发怒，并且有丰盛的慈爱和诚实。可是呢，那些悖逆的呢，他仍旧还是会去追讨他们的罪。
What we read is about God's glory.
我们所读的这个段是关于上帝的荣光荣美。
God's glory is not just bright and blinding light.
上帝荣美不是那种真的很明亮，让我们真的看了眼睛都要瞎掉的那一种。
In that brilliance, there is the beauty of compassion, grace.The beauty of patience, love, and faithfulness.
而是他的光芒当中是充满着怜悯恩典，他不轻易发怒，而且他愿意去饶恕那些悖逆的、犯罪的。
Those virtues are God's glory.
而这些美德全部都是所谓上帝的荣光。
So in Romans 3:23, we read, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That means We fall short of being like God.
在罗马书，保罗就告诉我们说，我们所有的人都犯了罪，而且在上帝面前是有所亏欠。
The Israelite properly could not understand God as compassionate, gracious, patient, and forgiving.
以色列人大概就不能够就是想象或者理解说，上帝其实是充满了恩典，有恩慈，不轻易发怒的。
For example, in Exodus 32, God ordered the Israelites to kill their own fellow men.Those who worship the golden calf.
比方说，在出埃及记三十二章，上帝他指示说要以色列杀他们自己的人，因为他们去拜偶像。
So where is the God of compassion?
这样的一个上帝，哪里可以说他是充满恩典恩慈呢？
And in Numbers 14, God wanted to wipe out the entire camp and restart a new nation through Moses after the people refused to enter the land and they rebelled against God.
在民数记十四章，当那些以色列人他们拒绝进入应许之地的时候，上帝甚至要说去铲平他整个的那个营地，然后重新开始。
So where is the God who is slow and anger and forgiving?
那什么叫做不轻易发怒？他甚至要真的是灭绝灭族啊！
In Numbers 25, we read God ordered the killing of 24,000 people at Shittim after they worshipped the Baal of Peor.
然后在审庭呢，当他们去拜这个巴利偶像的时候，上帝就甚至说要杀了那一共24,000人。
So again, where is the God who is compassionate and forgiving?
从这些例子，你看不到一个充满恩慈、一个会宽恕的人的上帝。
In our crisis and trauma, it is very difficult to understand God.
当我们遇到危机、遇到这个苦难的时候，我们很难去理解原来上帝是这样的。
Next, we see a dialogue. This dialogue is a caricature of Jeremiah's preaching.
那这里呢，可能是把这个耶利米书他跟上帝一个对话的一个表达方式。
Israel was very indulged in worshipping false gods.
那在这一个历史的时段里头呢，以色列人是真的是很迷拜偶像。
And God sent Jeremiah to appeal to them, return to me.
上帝差遣耶利米先知跟他们说，你们回到我这里。
And Israel said no, and God again sent Jeremiah to plead with them, turn back.
以色列人说不，我不回来。然后他再叫耶利米先知跟他们说，你们转回吧。
And Israel responded no way, and God again and again sent Jeremiah to preach repent, repent, repent.
然后呢，他们还是说不，我们不要转回。那上帝又差耶利米先知跟他们说，你们就悔改，悔改。他们就一直说不。
And Israel continually refused to repent, and God finally said, "You broke the covenant. You will go into exile."
那因为以色列人真的是死死不肯回转悔改，所以上帝就他说他就要就是要切断那个盟约。
And when the Babylonians were attacking Jerusalem, God sends Jeremiah to tell them, "I'll make a new covenant with you."
那对不起。那么当这个巴比伦在攻打以色列的时候呢，上帝又在差遣耶利米，然后就是说我要跟你们立新约。
Our situation could be similar to Israel.
那在 ，sorry。
Our situation could be similar to Israel.
哦，我们的这个状况跟以色列的会有什么相同之处呢
？In our crisis, we cannot understand God. We find it hard to understand God.
在我们经历危机的时候，我们很难去理解上帝到底是谁。
Okay. Years later, during the exile and after the exile, the people finally understood God when they reflected on Jeremiah's preaching.
可是若干年后，也就是这个被掳的事件发生很多年之后，他们回头看，他们终于明白耶利米先知所传的是什么信息。
Then they began to understand and realize God has been faithful, compassionate, patient, just, and gracious to them.
他们那时才看到，原来上帝真的是信实的，充满恩慈的，很有耐心的。
So one day when we see God, then will we fully understand that about God's love, His grace, and mercy?
所以只要有一天我们自己真的和上帝面对面，我们才能够看出他真的是正直的、恩典的、充满。
The last example I want to give in answer to the question, can we understand God, is the God who is the I am.
那再下来第二个去回答这个，我们怎么去明白上帝这件事的第二个回答就是这样，这个上帝是那个说我是自由拥有的。
Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? And God said, I am who I am. I am has sent me to you.
那摩西就问耶和华上帝说，如果他们问我的话，他叫什么名字，那我要怎么样去回答他们呢？上帝就对摩西说，我是那自由拥有的，又说你要对以色列人这样说，那自由那自由的打发我到你们这里来。
Initially I believe that Moses and the people at most could understand that I am as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and Jacob.
那我想在那个时候他们顶多就把这个自由拥有当成就是说是亚伯拉罕、以撒、雅各的上帝。
But as time passed through the wilderness, they experienced that I am provides light when they are surrounded by darkness.
但随着时间过去，在整个旷野的经历的时候，他们就意识到这位自由拥有的上帝，在他们走过黑暗的那些处所，
I am provides,
这位上帝给予光。
I am provides the living water when they are thirsty.
在渴的时候给予他们水。
I am provides manna and meat when they are hungry.
在腹饿的时候给予他们玛瑙和肉。
The God who is the I am guides, protects, heals the people like a shepherd throughout their journey.
那这位自由拥有的上帝就带领着他们，保护着他们，医治了他们，像一位牧者这样带领他们走过整个旷野。
And in the John Gospel, Jesus reveals himself as the I am who is before Abraham.
然后在约翰福音呢，耶稣就启示说他就是那位自由拥有的，在亚伯拉罕面前的。
Jesus said, I am the light, I am the living water, I am the bread from heaven, and I am the good shepherd.
这回呢，就约翰福音就不用自由拥有了，而直接我是。耶稣说我是光，我是活水，我是从天上来的那个粮食，我是好牧人。
So Hebrews 1:2 say, in these last days, God has spoken to us by His Son, Jesus.
也无怪这个希伯来书一章二节说，就在这末世，借着他的儿子晓谕我们。
At the beginning of the talk, we asked the question, can we understand God?
在一开始的时候，我问大家说，我们可以明白上帝吗？
Perhaps God is also wondering.Can he understand us?
可能上帝也在问同样的问题。
We can know God, we can understand God enough for us to walk with him and to worship him.
我们可以知道上帝，认识他到一个地步，以致我们懂得去跟随敬拜他。
And in the new covenant, Jesus wants to relate to us as a friend.
而在新约，耶稣要来做我们的朋友。
And God is our heavenly Father.
而上帝乃是我们的天父。
Because of union with Jesus Christ, God is always with us.
因为与耶稣的合一，上帝是时时与我们同在。
He can heal our hurts and pains.
他能够来医治我们的伤痛和痛苦。
He wants to comfort us.
他要来安慰我们。